And we won't grow if we are not careful. But there are some things that God intends to take place down here. Everything is not when we get to heaven. Matter of fact, there are some things you will do here for God on God's behalf that you don't have to worry about doing in heaven. God says, because see, in heaven, everybody is going to be alike in heaven. Everybody going to praise God. Everybody going to be born again. Everybody going to have new bodies in heaven. But down here is where God is saying, yes, it's going to be that way in the future. But right now, I want my children to walk and decide things in their lives based on wisdom. So therefore, I write to them a letter. I write to them the Proverbs, full of wisdom, 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 wisdom. So after a while, God says, get it. You have all the abilities with the Holy Spirit living in you to live wise life. Anybody struggle with living like God would have you to live? Anybody having a problem with that? Anybody? Huh? Anybody in the house? You see, God already knew we would have problems. So God began to instruct us through the Word of God that if we would apply the things that God will reveal to us in our lives, we would be what God would have us to be, even down here with the pressure, with the pull of the flesh, the world, and the devil. We still can live our lives in wisdom. But you know what? If we are not careful, we are just coast. Because the fight is great. The spiritual warfare is great. But he says, imitate me. Act like me. Have you ever heard someone say, a mother may say to a child, you acting just like your daddy. Or you act just like Uncle Joe or Uncle or Aunt May or whatever. I've seen this before. You act like them, you talk like them. And have anybody, you ever heard that? And you can see that too, can't you? You know, and a lot of people say, well, that's that DNA. It may be that DNA. It may be just that the child was accustomed to, he lived in that house. He saw the way daddy did it and whatever. And maybe even unconscious, he'll pick up them same habits. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that for good or bad. But what I'm saying, we have a Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father is saying, imitate me, pick up my habits. Do what I would do. And you say, well, God, I need wisdom if I'm going to do that. So as we look here at these seven things, verse 16 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, God decided that these things provoke me to hate them because these things are destructive. They will destroy. They will divide. They will hurt. They will harm. And God is a God of love. These things will accomplish the opposite things that God desires. Let's look at the first one. Our God hates a proud look. You see, a proud look proceeds from an egotistical, proud heart. God realized when one's heart is proud, arrogance and a proud look comes. And sometimes it may be because of money that they have received. And, you know, a lot of times people say when you don't have no money, you're acting funny. When you get money, you're acting funny. you know, it may be nobility. You know, being born in a noble family. Some of these things, there are things in this life that can cause a proud look. Sad to say, you can have a proud look by just acquiring a lot of biblical knowledge. And you look so proud, and you may not even realize it. And but God say, I hate the proud look, because I know where it comes from. It comes from within, and it expresses itself on your face. Now, this is something here. A lot of times we believe God doesn't care how we look. God doesn't care about our countenance, But when you look in the Word of God, He speaks about it all the time. But we must give attention to the things that God hates if I'm going to act like Him. See, if I don't hate a proud look, I'm going to put that on the back burner, and I'm going to deem some other things that God said more valuable. But one of the things I have to keep in mind when I look at what God is exposing to us, what He hates, I got to realize, too, what book He put it in. I have to, because this is a book of wisdom, and God wants us to have wisdom, because if I'm going to make a decision to move or remove a proud look from me, I got to be wise enough to know if it is present, it needs to go. Now, if I don't have no wisdom, then I don't care. You see, pride never tells you and I that we are wrong. Pride will never say you are wrong. Pride always tells me somebody else is wrong. Have your pride ever told you you was wrong, anybody in here? No, no, no. That ain't what pride does. Humility may tell you, but pride is never going to tell you. But God says, I hate it. Pride puts self on the throne and take God off. Satan and his demons fail through pride. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God says, I hate pride because I came to lift you up. I came to lift you up from the guttermost to heaven's most. And pride wanna destroy you, knock you down, keep you down, keep you bound. But God says, I came to set you free. Do you get what God is saying here? See, if God tells us He don't like something and you don't give attention to it, we got a big problem. Because what we are doing there, we are picking what we want to pick and giving attention to it. But when He comes out and says it straight out, I hate this. Man, I got to give more attention to that than some of the other things I deem more important. Huh? Because God said that this is important to me. I hate this. Because what it's doing, these things I hate won't build you up, but they will destroy you. How many know God don't want you to be involved with stuff that's going to destroy you, that's going to hurt you, that's not going to bring him no glory? God don't want that to take place. So he says the proud look. Anybody ever seen somebody with a proud look? Huh? Well, you don't know my heart. Well, God do. God know our hearts, and God made this statement in the Word of God. I'm talking about what is displayed. The look is displayed, but it's coming from the pride that's in the heart. Not only that, he says, our God hates a lying tongue. You know, this is something here. It's one thing to be a big liar before you get saved. Come on, y'all know some folk. I'm talking about super liars. Everybody in the neighborhood, you know, matter of fact, sometimes, see, the neighborhood folk got a way of your characteristics may end up being your nickname. Am I right about it? Come on now, y'all, come on now. So if somebody in the neighborhood call you, here come that liar. Hey, liar, we going to play some basketball. Come on, be on my team, liar. I got liar, man. I got Junebug. I got Stinky. Now, y'all, come on now. I'm just trying to make it practical. I know one man, good brother, said, he said, you know what? I know some folk, if the truth would save them, they would die. See, you got some terrible saying. That was one before my time. He said, yeah, they lie that much. And then, like I said, then you name the name of Christ and you're still lying. Wait a minute, we know that's a lie. I mean, everybody knows a lie. We saw you. We saw you, the one you were telling. And you spoke to me. You gave me a ride home. And you telling that lie. But God says he hates a lying tongue. Now, in Acts 5, 1 through 11, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Sold their goods, didn't have to lie to the apostles of the Holy Spirit, but they told a lie. The husband told the lie, and the wife was privy to the lie. She came right behind him and told the same lie, and both of them were struck dead by God. But it was something there that in this passage that Peter said, you let Satan fill your heart. You see, if we're not careful, the very thing that God hates, Satan loves to motivate in our lives. So don't you think just because God explained to us what he disliked or what he hates, that the enemy don't know that already, and he's going to do all he can to make you do that hates God. Satan do not love God, nor do he love you or me. He hates him. Satan was a liar in the beginning. Matter of fact, he's the author, he's the originator of the lie. He lied, no doubt, to the host. One third of the angels fell with him. I don't know the count of the angels, but that portion fell with him. and he's still lying. If you're not careful, as we're listening to this message today, Satan may lie to you and say, that message is not important because it don't have me jumping and shouting. Or it may be important to God. He said he don't like this. He hate this. But you know what? I think there are some more things more important than knowing what God like and don't like. I got some breakthroughs I need. Let me tell you something. This is one of the biggest breakthroughs. See, if I begin to please God, God's going to bless me in a whole lot of ways. I'm going to receive a whole lot of breakthroughs just by being obedient to God's word. See, let me tell you something. Confession is good for the soul. Sometimes the things that God say in the word of God, we know we are doing. We know we got problems with them. We know some of them vices belong to us. But it's a good thing to say, God, that's me. You ain't got to raise your hand or nothing like that. Just confess that thing, forsake that thing, and go on. I didn't know you felt that way about it, God. God, everybody tell me God is love. Now I see in the word of God, there are some things he hates. Now here's the thing. God don't hate me. God don't hate you. John 3:16 proves that, baby. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Is that right, y'all? And what else? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, talk to me. All right, is that you? Is anybody in the house took advantage of that? If you took advantage of that, let me see your hand. All right, you took advantage of the love of God. No greater love. So you are the love. You are the ones who fit in that soul love. He loved you so much when his son says, Father, is there any other way to accomplish your will? His daddy said, no, sir. My love is already generated in me a connection with my creation. And to see the fall through Adam, I just can't stand to keep them in that condition. And it ain't but one way I can redeem them. I gotta be wrapped up in flesh. God in Christ, in flesh, enfleshment, becoming the Lamb of God to satisfy himself. But he says that I hate a lying tongue. A lot of Christians don't understand. Lie, 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 lie. It amazes me too that I think some people think a pastor got some magic potion. Definitely gonna lie to him. And I'm like, I'm saved just like you by the same blood. And do you know God hates that? Why do I want to do as a new creature that which hates and dishonor my God? That's not wise, is it? But this knowledge, this word is wisdom. So God is saying, don't do that. Satan did that. And when he, see this, in Acts 5, this was the beginning of the New Testament church. This was in her early stage. This was when she was in her infant stage. So God was trying to show the fear all through the church, the way he wanted. Don't be lying to the Holy Spirit. Don't be lying to God. And we see God's mercy and God's grace. Thank God for it, that's the God that we serve. But this was at her infant stage, at the start. God is trying to set things in order. But the next thing, not only do God hates a proud look, God hates a lying tongue, but God, our God also hates hands that shed innocent blood. You know, the first family brought about the first murder. Y'all know the story of Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4, 8 through 12, he, through anger, not bringing the right sacrifice to God, and his brother, he slew him. And God says that, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? God says his blood, the voice of his blood, have cried out to me. You see, Abel was right with God. You read it. He did the right thing, gave the right sacrifice. But sin lied at the door. You see, because I'm my brother's keeper, I want to preach the word of God. I want to share with you, as long as I have the opportunity, what God expects of us, how God has been good to us. You know, here's the thing. When Sheila sung that song, oh man, we could shout if he did. Oh, because we can agree how much he have done for us, can't we? But it's amazing, the same God, when we can, oh, thank you, that's so true. But then when we heard this, there's no praise. It's never like we want the goodies, but not the goody giver. Matter of fact, anybody, as long as you could give me the goodies, it don't have to be God. As long as I get what I want, what I need, because it's about me. But see, here's the thing. A message like this is about what God hates. Huh? You see, if we're not careful, even though Ephesians say I should act like him, I should mimic him, I should imitate him, when it comes to some things I like and God don't like, hey, I got to tone that down, preacher. And let's get back and so we can jump some pews. Ain't about him now. Make it about us. I'm telling you something. You get more blessings. Now, I'm telling you what I know. A lot of my blessings come from just obeying God and doing the work of God. I have found out if I would do the work of God, I'm just busy doing the work of God, being a pastor, doing what I do, and I see blessings just come. You know, and sometimes I get tired, I get weary. But God have let me know. You got to believe in your heart that the preaching of the word of God is necessary. Because it has to be hurled out. You are a hurler. You got to hurl it out. How can they hear without a preacher? Somebody must preach God's word. But here's the thing about this. That's housed in the wisdom book. And God used wise or wisdom over 125 times in this book. Hey, I think we should get it. If I get this out of this book, I'm going to be wiser when I leave out of here than where I was prior to getting it. If I believe that it's truly a wisdom book. See, the book of Proverbs, God had an aim in writing it like he did it. There was an aim he had. He said, what was that aim? To make you wiser. You don't have any business reading, meditating, studying the book of Proverbs and becoming unwise. Because its intent by your Savior and Redeemer is to make you wise in God. You know, let me move on. Anybody with me? I don't need but one. Okay. Because I don't want it that nobody's with me. Okay. All right. Now, where did I stop at? Innocent blood. Okay. So we see Cain said, when you read that, there's a portion there where Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You killed an innocent man. I'm going to curse the ground. You a farmer, you're not going to be able to get the fruit out of that ground. You're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be moving and all these kind of things. You see, because you did. See, here's the thing. See, what we don't realize, a lot of things that God is speaking about that he hates, it didn't start back over here in the New Testament or back in this time. See, this stuff started. That's why I went back to Genesis. It started in the beginning. And then I go even further than that. I go to heaven with Satan. See, God knows the effects of these sins. He sees the damage that Satan is doing to this world. He's the prince of the power of the air and his cohorts, the demons. God knows the destruction. You can go all the way from Genesis to Revelation. You can see the pit. You can see the false prophet, the spirit of Antichrist, Antichrist himself. God said, no. Don't look at this as a New Testament and an Old Testament thing. This thing started a long time. And what you are seeing is the result of the enemy, Satan, and his desires, and the depravity of man through the fall of Adam. Let me go. God says, I hate the heart that devises wicked imagination. Some people's minds are so dark, it's as dark as sin. And they work day and night scheming, cruelty. It's always on their mind. They are ready to pounce on folk. I was looking at Lockup. It was on TV, on one of the news channels. And show you in jail and stuff like that. And they showed a guy that came in the first week, and they said he had molested a 12-year-old girl. And he was in general population. And the guy just came up and hit him and knocked him down. And then the other guy jumped in there, just two of them, and they knocked him unconscious and things like that. Then to find out it wasn't a 12-year-old girl, it was a 16-year-old girl, and he wasn't but 20, 24. It was consensual. And also the law had changed, because 16 is supposed to have been the age, but it changed at some time in wherever they were. And also it changed because he was her instructor. But anyway, the guy said they thought it was a 12-year-old, and they didn't, But anyway, they got some more time added on. But what I'm saying, that mischief was in these people. When the opportunity came, they pounced. See, God understands this stuff, and we see it all the time, but we don't see it from the biblical perspective. Well, God wants us to be wise. Harmless as a dove, but wise, right? He wants us to be wise. How can we be wise if we know not the scriptures, or the scriptures are not taught to us? So a lot of times we're expecting things that we're never taught. And a lot of times when you try to teach things that need to be taught, a lot of people understand, I don't understand why you're teaching that. I'm telling y'all something. We have a gold mine. It is a spiritual gold mine. And ain't no need in making this hard. How many want a blessing in here today? Anybody want a blessing? Let me ask this then. Anybody getting one from this word? All right. Okay. So let's go on. I won't keep you long. Also, he says, because I won't expound on all of them, God, our God hate feet that are swift to run into mischief. We dealt with that a little bit of that, but you also can take a look at Matthew 12 and 35. Our God hates a false witness who speak lies. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20 and 16. Perjury is a serious offense before God. Perjury is a serious offense before God. You see, a lot of time a lot of people have been killed because somebody lied on them. That man did not break in your house. He was at work. He was just coming on the midnight shift, driving his driveway. But wife got murdered, and somebody said the man next door did it because they saw him taking out the garbage. But he was just getting off the shift. But somebody lied on him, you see. Or somebody got a lot of time because you perjured yourself, you told a lie. But you know, a lot of times we see how serious it is in the courtroom. But now from the Bible, we're seeing that perjury is serious before my God. Huh? And then the last one, it says, our God hates a person who sows discord among brethren. Psalms 133 and verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now look at this. God has said, ooh, how good. It's a good thing for you to dwell together in unity, be unified, to be on one accord in the things of God. It's a good thing. But you know, a lot of churches split, a lot of anger, a lot of things going on, because if brethren and sistering begin to sow a discord between one another. See, God wants to see that which is good and pleasant. It's called unity, on one accord, serving the Lord. But Satan, on the other hand, he wants division. So wisdom tells me, if I have the tendency to be practicing division, I need to change that. Because, you see, even if it looks like that, be careful. Anything that God tell you he hate, you take time to evaluate what you are doing. It's amazing how some people, their whole life is slander. I'm going to slander you. And they're slandering the church, the brothers and sisters, all the time. I'm not talking about just talking about some stuff. I'm talking about slander. But God realized if folk decide to be used by Satan to divide the brethren, to divide the sisters, God said, I hate that. I hate that. You do what you can do to keep us together. Even when it looked like they want to divide, you get in there and hold their hands and try to keep it together. You say, why is that? Because that's what God loves. Can you imagine if the church of God decide, I want to do what God loves? Can you imagine how pleasant it would be all over the place? Because we have decided, that's my brother, that's my sister, we want to keep things together. Now, I'm not talking about when it's time for discipline and all those kind of things. That's another subject. But what he's speaking of here, God will call it what it is. When is sowing discord. You know, sometimes you can hear some things and you know folk leaving half the stuff out. And you know, for whatever reason, they saying stuff. Sometimes it ain't worth a hill of beans because there's a lot of other brothers and sisters in that room. And you jump up and say something divisive. It could be true, but it's more harmful for you to do that because it may have the tendency to divide the brethren. Even if you have to do something to the side, to talk with them or whatever like that. Because sometimes we let our ego, more egotistic than we want to say. Because you may even know it's right. You may know, but it ain't right for you to do what you're going to do. You carry a lot of influence. So when you get up and say stuff, you better be careful how you say it, who you say it in front of. You may have a lot of babies. There are some things you can say around some strong folk. And there's some things you can't say around weaker, immature people. Am I right about it? There's some things y'all need to talk about, and y'all can talk, y'all can debate, or whatever you need to do. You're dealing with some things. Both of you guys are mature. But you throw that baby in there, oh, man, you can do some damage. You see, God says he hates that. My brothers and sisters, apply God's wisdom to your decisions and activities of your daily life. To God be the glory for good things he has done. And remember, he hates the proud look, the lying tongue, hand that sheds innocent blood, the heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and a person who sows discord among brethren. God loves us so much. God loves you so much. He don't want, nor he'll allow anybody to destroy you. Doesn't matter whether one of the brethren or one of the sisters, God don't go for it because he loves his flock. He loves you guys. You are special. He died for you. He gave his best for you and I. So just consider wisdom as we go about. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be tested with this message. You're going to be tested. And it may be a spirit speaking to you right now. I'm okay. I don't have none of this problem. All of us got a little bit of them. Something in here that we got to work on. Don't let pride lie to you. And here's another thing. If someone tell you, you got a proud look, and a lot of times we can't change how we look. I mean, I'm not talking about that. Because some of us, serious. I had the nickname serious. One of the saints told me years ago at my home church, you too serious. I couldn't, and she was a spiritual lady. And that thing bothered me for a while. Too serious in the Lord. But by and by, I understood what she meant. She was helping me to enjoy the Christian life, be serious about it, but enjoy it. Realize it's a marathon. It's not quick, fast, it's not a sprint. You know, you ain't gonna make it. The way you were so serious, you gonna break. You know. So when I understood, but that came with growth, I understood, and I thank her for that name, but I didn't see it then. I was a matter of fact, I got more serious when you said that to me. I loved, I'm serious, over at Calvary. But it took me time to grow to understand she loved me as I got it. It's special. If you're going to pastor a church, I needed that advice. That I didn't think it was from God then, but now I know it is. I know that that wisdom was from the Lord. You live that abundant life that God has given you, a life that's fulfilled with the things that God will have for you. And even when you hear a message or read the scriptures, when you finish, ask God, what is it, or is it anything in there for me? Find out how he's speaking to your heart personally, that you can glean from the power of the word of God.